How was your Easter?
I don't know. I don't celebrate it. I don't believe in sexually active bunnies and the correlation between Jesus Christ. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah.
But you know what I've always had a problem with? Why they call it Good Friday when they murdered this nigga? Like, what is the... Why is it Good Friday? He was killed on Good Friday. There's nothing good about that. I mean, he was... If you believe in that, he followed the story.
Yeah.
He got murdered. He was a savior, right? It should be...
Well, that's a part of
fucked up Friday or something.
Yeah, but he had to die for the resurrection.
Right.
So that
there's nothing good about that.
Good part.
I don't know. Well, I'm sure when he was beaten by the Passion of the Christ whip, he was not talking about, I hope they call this Good Friday. Because that Friday he was mad. This is fucked up. I'm getting beat by this metal whip. This is not a good time for me. I don't know. I don't know why they call it Good Friday. And going forward, we'll call it Good Friday. And Jesus, look, you fucking kidding me?
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
Yeah, I don't believe in the bunny, but my kids wanted to go to church with Granny today. So
Wanted to go?
Yeah, they find it fun. They find it interesting. I mean, all the pageantry and all the ceremony. My son's never been there before, but they certainly, I think they enjoy the pageantry. They're like, oh, what's going on? You know, it's a show. That's what it is. They went to go see the Jesus play.
Jesus play. Who greenlit this play? They are running amok down there.
And what the fuck does a chocolate bunny have to do with me getting beat with a steel whip?
This is disrespectful. I've had enough.
I think they do that to avoid having to explain to children the actual brutality of what we're doing here and what we're commemorating. I guess. You know, I really I'm going to do the research on where the chocolate bunny, that whole egg thing came from, because
I guarantee you it was Cadbury and the Europeans.
It was some sort of money grab, I'm assuming. Yes,
absolutely.
But the term Easter comes from, is a Sumerian goddess. The name is spelled Isthar, and it's pronounced Easter, and she was the goddess of fertility, and that's where the correlation of the rabbit came in, because rabbits are very fertile. Now, the whole chocolate thing definitely was by Cadbury or Hershey, one of the two. They said, let's make chocolate bunnies and make money. But yeah, that's the correlation from my understanding, and I'm you know, it's been a while since I've actually did any studying on that, but yeah, you know, why not? All right.
Oh, so we get hold on. So commercialization, confectionery and greeting cards, commercialization during the 19th century. So rabbits become a popular symbol of Easter with the growth of the greeting card industry. Postage services became affordable and people wanted to keep in touch. Card companies like Hallmark became big by launching images of cute little rabbits and Easter eggs on cards. The first edible Easter bunnies made from sugared pastry were made in Germany in the 19th century. And big confectionery companies like Cadbury in England started manufacturing chocolate eggs.
There we go.
But why the egg and the rabbit? Because the egg doesn't come from a rabbit.
So Vin was right about the rabbit symbolizing fertility.
Mm-hmm.
The egg, it appears, has something to do with, I read, Jewish migrants using the egg as, again, some symbolism
of fertility.
Probably.
It all has to do with fertility. It's all locked to fertility and the combination of the crucifixion and all of that and the paganism of Ishtar, Easter. That the term Easter comes from, it has nothing to do with Jesus. Jesus didn't say, hey, it's Easter, nigga, kill me on Good Friday. It wasn't that. It was it all kind of made, you know, just like everything else. It all gets lost in translation. And then King James came together and was like, you know, I'm gonna make this Bible right, and we gonna leave out this part. Anything to do with black folks.
It wasn't Jewish immigrants. It was German immigrants. When they came to America in the 1700s, they brought holiday traditions with them, which included rabbits with spring and Easter rituals and the chocolate they liked to mold into shapes, which I'm assuming they molded them into eggs as well. Which again is all about
could have been chocolate dicks. It could have been chocolate dicks. It could have been chocolate dicks or chocolate vaginas. That's fertility, yeah. Right? I mean, come on, let's keep it 100.
They're freaks, them Germans.
Yeah.
But think about the egg and what does an egg look like? A testicle, fertility. I mean, come on. Listen.
All right.
It's Nickelodeon, nigga.
All over again,
my nigga. That's fucking freaks.
Decoding 40. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Decoding 40. I'm your host this week. This is Alaric, and I'm joined by some very good friends of mine.
Yo, what's up, shit boy?
Don't all talk at the same time.
Yo, what's up, shit boy? Yo, what's up, shit boy? Been in the building. Hope everybody's safe and happy on this Easter Sunday.
What's good? This is your boy, L.O. And I do know the difference between an Arnold Palmer and an IPA.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to hear some more about that in his check-in. I'm guessing. So we're going to do our housekeeping. You can reach us at 619-940-4040. You can email us at decoding40@gmail.com. Holler at us on IG. Also on Facebook at Decoding 40, Pinterest at Decoding 40. Special shout out to all our listeners who are small business owners. Reach out to us because we are looking for you to sponsor the show, and we can help promote your business. You can help us promote our business, and we can do this thing together. Oh, decodingpod.com is where you go to get all the beautiful merch that we've created. See what's out there. See what you like. Get yourself a t-shirt. Get yourself a sweatshirt. Get yourself a hat. You have somebody that's coming up on 40 or who's doing it in 40s, and they need to know that you appreciate them. Decoding 40. What's going on in your lives, fellas?
So the novella that is the what's going on in my job, the new job I have, the novella continues. And this is episode 4 of the novella. El problema, la trabajo. It's a gift that keeps on giving. So essentially, you know, like I explained last week, there was another email that was written to management. This last week, you know, I started some on-the-job training, and a friend of mine that is in my class, you know, we're running into each other as we do on-the-job training, stuff like that. And he says to me, he goes, oh, by the way, some of our classmates received emails to go have a conversation with the big dog of the department because of this fucking email. So this person who wrote this email and wrote this elaborate email, one, is being protected that nobody knows who this person is. This is like the fucking mole. And now we're being called in 5 at a time to have conversations and write these, you know, these statements. I don't really like it because we're probably going to lose a day of pay because of it. And it pisses me off.
Wait, I don't know who. Why would you lose a day of pay if you are reporting to work?
It's delicate, right? It has to do with what I said earlier as far as that's what it was said. You know, I don't know if that's true, if we're just going to get paid for the just what we're supposed to get paid. But it's just a problem. It's a pain in the ass because we're already kind of on doing this on the job training. We're getting into a groove. We're learning information and new things and how things work. And this kind of puts a pause on everything, and it's fucked up. And especially because I don't want to have anything to do with this shit. Like, this shit is real high school, real childish. So we're all kind of waiting to get that email or that phone call that, oh, yeah, by the way, tomorrow, please come in and, you know, you're not going to do what you're supposed to do. Come in and have a conversation with us tomorrow. I mean, I didn't receive an email this weekend. I didn't receive one Friday. So I'm, you know, for all intent purposes, I'll be doing what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. And we're all kind of waiting, you know, with bated breath on when we're going to get this email or this call to come in. And it's bullshit because, again, the person that's stirring all this shit up gets to like stir shit up and not be called on his stuff. So again,
is this conflict still between two people?
From my understanding, they want to question us if we know anything about this particular situation, and they're focusing on job activity or on job conflict. They've kind of moved away from the group chat messaging that we had, and now they're trying to find out whether or not this shit happened on the job, and whether or not the person who the story the person wrote correlates with what might have happened on the job. Again, I didn't see anything happen. It was a lot of the stuff I knew was hearsay based on what other people said. I don't know. I don't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, apparently.
Don't mention that.
What's that?
What you heard. You ain't hear nothing. Yeah. You didn't hear nothing.
Yeah.
I see hearsay. Nothing.
I don't know nothing.
The only thing you know is what's in that chat. That's it. Because
I don't even know that.
I don't know him, and I don't like that motherfucker either.
Right.
But yeah, it's getting real childish.
And I lost my memory.
What'd you say?
I was in Bang Bang, and I lost my memory.
Yeah, yeah. Charlie was surrounding us, and you know. But I really don't give a fuck anymore, and I'm hoping that after this particular chapter, it will be over. So stay tuned for next week. El problema, la trabajo. Other than that, you know, last week was good. I learned a lot of stuff. On the job training was real good. I am learning to enjoy the small things in life. This weekend, I had a very, very good weekend, and I basically achieved everything I wanted, which was first to get really drunk on Saturday. I found this new tequila that is hands down better than Casamigos and probably about $30 cheaper. 100% agave Blanco tequila. Taramana, I think it was the name of it. Fucking delicious. Yeah, it was a problem yesterday.
How did you drink
it? Straight with ice. Nice. And a little bit of lime. And a splash of Sprite of the tequila
after. No longer straight.
Keep going.
Just a splash of Sprite. The reason why I put a splash in there because.
Shaking over ice. Well, just a little orange juice. You drank a margarita, bro.
No, I didn't. What the reason why I add a little spice, because tequila has an aftertaste that I really don't enjoy. But like whiskey, I can drink straight because not that I enjoy it, but I can tolerate the aftertaste that's in whiskey. And some whiskeys do have a good aftertaste. But this particular tequila was very, very smooth. It has that small bite at the end, but it wasn't like overpowering. We got a fifth. And I woke up this morning and I looked at the bottle. And me and the wife did some real fucking damage. I know it got bad because we're in the backyard. So we come home. I have like a fire. I have one of those fire pits. First of all, we were like, all right, let's go out. We were sitting there and I was like, I'm fucking bored. My wife's like, I'm bored too. I said, well, let's go out to a bar. I said, all right. So we start getting ready. I go to walk the dog. And as I'm walking the dog, I'm looking up places to go. I'm like, I really don't want to go to a fucking bar because it's just. You know, I mean, it's one thing, like our watering hole is very inexpensive, but the bars around here, I start looking at prices, $20 for a fucking screwdriver. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I come home and I look at the wife. I say, yo, why don't we just go get a bottle and let's just light up the fire pit. And she was like, yeah, let's do that. She was like, yeah, let's light up the fire pit. She gave a suggestion for the fire pit. We went and got a bottle, went and got some cigars because it's a great cigar spot in Bayonne near me. That's a Cuban dude that owns the spot, and he has like hand rolled and he has name brand cigars. So got some cigars, came back. So we began to drink. My wife made some delicious guacamole. It was a whole Mexican theme. Yo, after about two or three drinks, we're in the backyard and we had one of those little speakers. We were singing loud as hell. I know my neighbor must have been like, the fuck is going on next door? We were singing loud as hell. We had the tequila. It was really, really good. We had a great night. I woke up with no hangover, which was surprising. I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning, ran downstairs, like swallowed some aspirin and some water. And, I was definitely not feeling bad this morning. Woke up this morning, you know, had some coffee, whatever. And my wife and I and my sister-in-law went on a hike to this place called Eagle Rock Preserve. I don't know if it's a preserve or a reservation or whatever, but it's a beautiful park in Jersey, about 20 minutes from me. And we went on a hike. We went on a 4-mile hike. It was a beautiful day. We were just talking about just everything going on, talking about life and stuff like that. We had a great time. And as I'm walking, we had the dog with us and she's like in and out of the woods, having a great time. Onyx, the girl, had a good time. And as we're walking, we saw a family of deer, 4 deer in the woods. And we just stopped and we looked at them and they stared at us and we stared at them. And it's crazy because every time that I meditate, I think of being in the woods and there's a water running, and in this meditation, I visualize a deer, and I'm looking at this deer, and the exact same thing happened today where, but it was real life. Like I manifested this situation, and it today I'm just staring at the deer and the deer is looking at me. And anytime I get now, when I get frustrated or whatever, and I need a moment, I take a deep breath, I meditate, and I think about that scene in my head, and today it came true. So that was real special for me, and just had a good day, you know, had my epiphany, and like, as far as reaching the age of 50 and what has happened, what I went through in the last couple of years, it's been kind of crazy, but just recognizing and enjoying the simple things in life. That's one of the simple things. Going for what didn't cost no money, I didn't have to pay admission to a park. I didn't have to go to a club. It was just, we got up there, we hiked around these woods, and it was beautiful, man. And I want to tell everybody out there who listens to the show, make time for yourself, make time for nature, enjoy that while we still have it. And, you know, breathe that fresh air, man, because the rat race that is life and the city and everything else, or wherever you're listening from, or you listen, wherever you live, where there's just the hustle and bustle of the everyday, sometimes you got to take that moment. Go to a park, man. It don't cost money. Go to the beach. It doesn't really cost money. And enjoy that, those simple moments. And that's pretty much my check-in, man. I had a great week, and Monday it starts all over again. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to it, man. And I'm in a good place, good space. As of tomorrow, my insurance kicks in. So getting ready to go to the dentist, go get my blood check. Listen, I'm about to use this insurance. Like I got a coupon. And I got my AARP card in the mail.
Wow.
So I'm taking advantage of discounts. Nigga, I'm flashing that card like it's
what
a black card.
Taking care of? Wow. What discounts?
Whatever they give me. Discounts at Dunkin' Donuts, like, whatever.
How much is it?
You don't need to be going to Dunkin' Donuts. Respectfully.
Take it easy. I'm not fat. I can enjoy a donut every once in a while, nigga.
Don't judge me.
But no, I'm looking at about like a Boston cream or a fucking glazed donut.
Pause. So, but AARP is just way aggressive with their messaging. Like, since I've hit 50, like, I'm getting emails, I'm seeing commercials. Like, I'm in the algorithm. So look, I was like, all right.
Look what's on my desk.
AARP, nigga.
Got the card.
Enjoy yourself.
So a friend of mine goes, you should apply and get the card. So I go, okay, well, what are the advantages? And she's like, I don't really know. I just know that you should get it. So I go on the site, and it's like discount for two cellular companies that I don't use. Mm. Discounts to Denny's.
Hotels, you do your AARP discount to
Barry. That was the one thing. But the hotels was only like 5-10%.
10%'s all right. 5% is a piece of shit.
Right. So I was like, and then I said, okay, well, if I stay at a hotel for one weekend, I guess I've made the $12 back. But other than that, I can see the value.
But 10% doesn't even cover the 18% hotel tax that the city charges. So
look at it like this. We're still working, right? Because AARP allows people 50 and older to join. We're still working. But when we get to a retirement age, every dollar counts. And you know this. You see a lot of older people now who retire at 65 and have to go working back at Walmart because their pension or the taxes at their home have gone up or whatever has gone up exponentially. Think about what's happened since the pandemic to now. Everything's 60, 70% more expensive. So those little AARP discounts, that maybe that's 1 or 2 hours you don't have to work as a fucking greeter at Walmart. I mean, it's something. Hey, look,
I'm not buying it.
Free. Look, if it's a discount, I'll take it. I'm just saying, I'm not. It's not. No, it's nothing.
Auto insurance as well.
Nothing to be excited about, really.
Well, which
auto
company?
And home insurance. That I don't know, but I know that I have to see because I have Liberty Mutual. I have to see whether or not they offer a discount.
Liberty is not in there.
It's not in there. All right. Well, I
could be wrong. When I looked through it, I was like, I don't see any value.
Probably Hartford's insurance, like insurance, you know.
There is a AAA discount. I do know that.
From my understanding, it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
But I remember when I used to work with AAA many, many moons ago, but I remember it being significant discount because it's a senior citizens discount.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think right now it's like $119 a year or something like that.
Are we senior citizens?
No, we're not.
We're seniors.
No, we're not.
We haven't reached that.
We're in middle age.
What is senior citizens considered now? What's the age? What's the cutoff? Or I should say the beginning.
Well, it depends on which congressman you ask. Some will say 62, but I think
these motherfuckers want us to work to 90. But I'm saying,
I think it's still
pretty much
65. Okay, so we got 15 more summers. All right. That's my checking, ladies and gentlemen. 15 more summers to go. All right. Merch drop.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? This is Ben from Decoding 40 letting you know about Decoding40Pod.com. That's right, Decoding40Pod.com. That's our new site that's got all our merch on it, Decoding40Pod.com.
Decoding40Pod.com.
All right, so the other day, I grab a bite to eat and drink with a friend, and it's sort of like this pop-up shop. So I ordered the food and wanted to drink a beer, so they didn't really have much of a selection, so they had Labatt. I was like, all right, I'll take that. That's fine. So the guy, and this was just really an exercise in poor customer service. So the guy goes, no, we don't have that. What other beers do you have? So he starts telling me about apple cider and all these other drinks, but no beer. Then eventually he says, oh, I have an IPA. I said, oh, there you go. I'll take the IPA. So I'm talking. He puts the drink on the table. I never look at the can that he gives me. So I'm wiping the top of the can. I open it up. I'm still talking. I drink it. The distinct flavor of iced tea and lemonade hits my taste buds. So my friend looks at my face and she's like, what happened? I'm like, I look at the can. I'm like, this isn't an IPA. I'm like, man.
You bring your Arizona iced tea on a bomb.
Wait, it gets better.
Arizona hard iced tea?
Pretty much. So I go, my man, I thought you were giving me an IPA. He said, I did. This is, I forgot what it was called, but it has lemonade and iced tea in it. This is like a hard cider. Why did you think this was an IPA? Because it has the word regression right here.
What?
I'm sorry, what? See, it has regression here. I interpret regression to mean IPA.
And what
fucking bar you had, bro? What the fuck?
So I go, you know what IPA stands for? No.
Nigga had to give him a lesson on IPA. Yo, you have the most Larry David experiences, nigga. Like, that shit is clearly.
I'm like rubbing my temples like this has to be a prank right now.
Where what the camera's is at? Behind the bar?
But it wasn't a bar. He is
a server.
It's just a small pop-up shop.
Okay.
So he's just serving food. So I go, well, IPA means Indian Pale Ale. It's a kind of beer and the way that it's made. So this right here is more of a cider. So stop saying this is an IPA because you're going to piss somebody off like me.
Like myself.
Like me right now. He said, do you want me to take it back? I said, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'll just drink it. It's a horrible drink because I don't like ciders or hard ciders or all that stuff. But I was thirsty. It was like quenching my thirst. So I just drank it. Food was good. I can't front. The food was really good. So then one of our other friends comes and joins us. And so I said, man, the food was actually pretty good. So you go ahead and put your order in. So he places his order, but the guy never tells him to swipe his card over by the machine. Because he's thinking, okay, this man has heard me tell him my order.
Mm-hmm.
He's recorded my order.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously 5 minutes have gone by. I'm believing that he has started my order. So I turned to the cash register. I said, what was your order and how much was it? $19.59. There's $19.59 sitting on the cash register, like on the screen. I said, no, there's no way he didn't submit the order. He's probably just waiting for you to pay for it at this point. So he comes back over to us. I'm like, hey, did you submit that order? No. Why not? He hasn't paid for it yet. Well, were you going to ask him to pay for it? No.
He said no?
I said, bro, what is happening right now? Why are you? And matter of fact, I was lost for words at that point. And my friend was like, nah, we got to go. I'm out. And at that point, I finished my food and my other friend didn't even eat there. And I was like, yo, this has been the weirdest customer service experience I've ever had in recent days.
Wow.
He was so uninterested about giving actual service. I remember my boy asked, can you make the chili hot wings or chili salsa something extra hot? No. You can't put hot sauce on the side? No. Okay.
What was this all after you gave him a lesson on what the fuck IPA meant?
Yeah, this is after. This is
so
after.
He was clearly salty that
he could have been, but I don't think he was. I wasn't rude or mean about it. I was really trying to educate him on you can't say that this is an IPA. It's clearly it's not
nothing to do with it,
right? And the word regression has nothing to do with IPA. Like, how do you just take a word and say to yourself, okay, this must mean it's an IPA?
Is there a beer called? Is there an IPA called Regression?
It's called Regression. Matter of fact, but it's just regression along the sides. Matter of fact, let me see if I can find it real quick. But your man was not interested whatsoever in actually being, and he looked a little slow, and not slow like he had any kind of deformity, but just
he wasn't ADA slow.
Yeah, I don't have any interest of thinking beyond. I don't want to push anything beyond the buttons that are on the screen, and I just want to put the potatoes in the water for the fries. Like, that's all he wanted to do, really. And the woman that was in the back was, I don't know how she got to New York, but she clearly looks like she's from West Virginia, from the smallest town ever. And she had the you know how redneck women have those really skinny arms that really wrinkly, and it looks like they are evaporating and like their skin is just really dried and gray. Like, that's what she had with the rolled up t-shirt.
She's
was your server a white or a black person?
Oh, he was black. He was very black.
Black. Okay. Yeah. You're a black guy. Oh man.
Yeah, we need to start hiring some of these migrants because these guys are itching to work. Yeah, all is fucking up. Come on.
That's a fact.
That's ridiculous.
There's no way Momar would have called that an IPA. Okay.
Yeah. There's no way. No way. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Get your shit together, whoever you are.
I do hope he doesn't do that again. So moving on, I finished Richard Pryor's Prior Convictions, listening to it the other day. Yo, this dude's life was wild. Wild.
Yeah.
It's a very transparent story. He holds nothing back. He even put, or at least for me, put the clarity around the gay relationship that he had. And it's a hilarious story. He meets this woman this person who he thinks is a woman in a club. And at this point, he's doing all types of drugs. They're having a good time. They're dancing all night. And he takes her home. They have sex. And he said the first time was amazing. And then the second time, he said she forgot to tuck that thing. And I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And they wound up being in a relationship for like 2 weeks. So he said he was gay for 2 weeks. And after that, I had enough of being gay. And the other part of the story is he said years later, the man, now a woman, tells him that he's had the full operation. But he said at that point, he just wasn't interested. And he had already had a triad of women that he was seeing at that point and just didn't want to go back there. But the dude, I mean, he said he was coked out of his mind pretty much 24/7. The story that he tells when he burns himself up is chilling. And I encourage anybody to listen to it or read the book. What I did find interesting, though, was I'm not sure if it was how the person was reading the book or just how it was written, but you could hear Chappelle's delivery in the way that the story was being read.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so there's a clear influence. And right. Even the way the cadence and the punchlines came through is a clear influence that Pryor had on Chappelle.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he talks about the Richard Pryor show and some of the things that he had to deal with, same thing that Dave had to deal with, which was really unfortunate because you could tell how much we have not progressed
at all.
Because the same things that Richard was dealing with in the 70s, Dave had to turn around and deal with 20, 25 years later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Wow.
And to think about the people that were on the Richard Pryor show as writers. So you had Richard Pryor, Paul Mooney, Sandra Bernhardt. I don't know if Carlin was on there. There were a couple of other great comedians that were writing for the show and were actually on the show. I think Robin Williams might have been on there.
I think he was a writer, yeah.
How did the show even get on the air at that time? Because
Richard Pryor was very, very, very powerful at that time. Yeah. He was like the Red Fox at that time. And everybody wanted a piece of Richard. But they wanted to try to control what he was doing, and you can't control Richard Pryor.
No.
You definitely can't control Paul Mooney.
No.
Because I read Paul Mooney's book, and he talks about being a writer on the show and how the networks basically were fucking with Rich.
Yeah, and initially, NBC gave him a 10-show run.
I know.
And he was like, no, I'm not doing
it. Well, I think it was like, he made like four or five episodes.
Yeah, he said he only wanted to do four.
Yeah.
Because they wanted him to do 10, but then I guess after they saw the content, they were like, yeah, four is cool.
Yeah. Nah, because from day one, he fucking crossed the line. He just crossed the line and was like, oh, this is the line? I'm going to jump over that line, you know?
Right, and then run a mile, yeah.
Yes.
But,
You know, the one thing that concerns me about that story is the first time they had sex, it was great. Meaning... he didn't see anything.
Right. But imagine he's coked out of his mind. He's drunk. Like he's just sticking into a hole at that point.
I've never done cocaine, so I don't know what sort of delirium or what sort of state of blindness it causes. But
I can attest not having done it, but having been out partying with someone who I did not realize did cocaine. And they just pulled it out on the table and just started snorting. And he was the driver. And I was like, okay, give me your keys, sir. I will be driving back.
At least you know he'll be alert. He's not going to fall asleep at the wheel. Oh,
but there was a sense that he was invincible. And, you know, he just turned on for that night. And it was like he was a totally different person.
Right.
Well, if you've ever done X from experience, X, again, depending on where you got it from, is cut with coke, right? So if depending on who makes it or who gives it to you, right? So I've had X before where the ecstasy itself has a form of whatever MDMA or whatever is in it, and then they'll cut it with something else. And that shit is, you lose all inhibitions. Not to say that it turns and makes you want to be gay, it just... But I can, and having one pill and having a good time, I can't even imagine the amount of cocaine he was doing. And they said, like, this motherfucker was getting, like, he does a set, and it was on an album. He was, like, talking about having a kilo for the weekend, nigga. So he talks about that in one of his.
He talks about that in the book. They asked him, oh, Rich, how much do you want? He said, give me a kilo.
I'll have a kilo for the weekend. And then running out. Because now he's having parties and then like running out halfway through the weekend and be like, oh shit, I just ran through a kilo. I need more fucking coke.
That's
so, crazy. You know, and so I can't even imagine of trading, like having a pill and then having mountains of this drug that makes you feel invincible, that makes you feel like you do what you want to do.
Where was it tucked? That's the thing that can, like, how, what,
he doesn't get that explicit, but I would imagine that the person was bent over and maybe just pulled down their underwear. And he was like, oh, there's a hole, and just started plowing.
All right.
But yeah, he said the second time he was like, whoa, but he was there for 2 weeks. So,
yeah, I guess it didn't matter. Hey, I'm not. There's no judgment on that. Just
saw that shit. He saw that shit and was like, more coke, please. More coke. Nigga, I'm going to need more than a key this weekend. I'm going to need two keys this weekend.
Yeah, but after finishing the book, I actually wound up watching one of my favorite Richard Pryor movies, Bustin' Loose. And it's just good, man. It just gets me every time. Cicely Tyson is so good in that movie.
Yeah, she's adorable, too.
Yeah, she is. But yeah,
that whole series of Richard Pryor movies with Gene Wilder, Stir Crazy,
oh my God,
Silver Streak,
and he said he was done on most of those movies out of his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he was reclusive.
Gene Wilder too.
But he and Gene didn't even get along on some of those movies.
Really?
Well, he took the blame for it, that he just was out of this world. Like the drugs had taken such a control of him. Mm-hmm. He was, matter of fact, one of the movies, I think it might've been Stir Crazy. He said he was, instead of being on in the same space where all the other actors and crew was, he had gotten a house that was like miles away, wound up hooking up with a drug selling bike gang. They were providing him drugs. Turns out that gang was under investigation by the feds. The feds come to the movie set and like, hey, you might want to stop associating with them because they're under investigation.
Yeah.
Richard was like, okay, but no. Goes back, still hangs out with them, still gets more drugs from them. Then, during that same conversation, they were like, well, whatever you do, don't take those drugs on the plane back to California with you. On the way to the airport, he decides, nah, I'm not leaving those drugs. He goes back to the house, the compound, digs up the drugs, packs them, and goes back to California.
Wow.
And you're talking about somebody who is a clear millionaire at this point, who could easily get drugs when he gets back home.
Right. But those were his drugs.
That must have been some good-ass cocaine. You didn't want to leave that shit.
Well, he didn't know when he was coming back to Arizona.
Listen, but you know what? When talking about drugs, and it you know, again, different drugs do different things, but I'm going to keep it 100. I can attest, like, when I was really, really smoking like that, I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to leave my house. Mm-hmm. I didn't even want to leave the room I'm in right now. I just, like, I'm going to sit here. I'm going to smoke weed. And I'm gonna smoke some more weed. I'm gonna take these edibles. I'm gonna smoke some more weed. I'm gonna play my video game. I'm not gonna leave. And being down here all day, not even communicating with my family, being like, so I think it's depending on what side of the street you're on, you can say weed's a drug, weed's not a drug, whatever it is. It's not so much the drug itself, more than it what it does to your personality and how it affects you and how it makes you turn into a recluse. And I can attest to that. Like, you don't want to do anything. Like, I remember going out with Rick a couple of times when I was smoking like that, and I'd be excited, like, yeah, me and Rick gonna hang out, we're gonna go, and Rick like, yeah, well, you know, let's start over here, let's start over there. We start at one bar, and then like on the way to the next bar I'd smoke, and then I'd be at that bar with Rick, and Rick would have start having a con, because going out with Rick, especially in the BK area, Rick's gonna run into somebody he knows, right? Rick would start having a conversation. I would go to the bathroom and come back. Now I'm really high and drunk, and Rick would be talking, and I would just be like, it's time to go. And I would just leave. And nigga, Rick would be calling me. Where'd you go? Oh, nigga, I'm home. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm in the car. Nigga, I'm over the bridge. Matter of fact, I am in the Wendy's drive-thru right now. Like, that's what weed or whatever your drug of choice does, it isolates you. It you become your own prisoner. And that's real. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because Rick would turn around and be like, Ben, where'd you go? Nigga, I just got up. Yeah. It was time for me to go. The weed said, you've been here long enough.
Yeah.
There's more of me at home. You know you want to go home and smoke me. So let's just go home. Why are you here?
I know that feeling. That's when I stopped smoking weed.
Yeah.
I stopped smoking weed. I couldn't handle it. Like, the high was too short, mm-hmm. and the coming down and in my head and like uncomfortable in this space all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to be by myself. And I'm like, that's not even why I started smoking weed. When we started mm-hmm. smoking weed, we were having a great time as a group.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It takes a turn, and then you get inside your own head. But I think it also mm-hmm. has to do with how you feel before you even smoke.
Mm-hmm. And if you're stuck in that rut already and you're trying to get out of that rut by smoking, you're just digging a deeper hole.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what it is.
And I'm about to get out of here. Tokyo Vice is concluding. I said last week that the show that I'd be watching last week would be the last show of the second season. Turns out they have added two additional shows to the second season, which I'm very happy for. This week should be the last. I'm not going to give any details because Kuba was like, yo, don't say anything. So I'm not. But I'm curious to know what you think about the first episode.
I like it. First of all, it's beautifully shot. And it wasn't white savior comes to Japan to help us.
No, it's not.
They hated him. They didn't like him. He wasn't accepted. I love that part.
Yeah.
But he had to make himself part of their culture, not trying to fix their culture. In the first episode, this is as far as I'm going.
Yeah.
So far, it's a very interesting, because I know that I know it's building,
mm-hmm.
but they're keeping the interest there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked you if it was sort of like Narcos, how the way that they use subtitles and they use English, if it was similar, and I do think it is similar.
Oh, okay.
There is a lot of subtitles, but there's also not a whole lot of dialogue, which is interesting because a lot of it is carried through the visual and through mannerisms, through expression, because you can miss a line of dialogue and look at what's happening on screen and still kind of not be lost, not be completely lost.
Yeah, I get that. I get that.
And that's not easy to do.
I think for me, though, I'm so into the story, I don't want to miss any detail.
Yes.
Because I find myself watching one episode twice in the week. Sometimes if I have time, I'll just watch it again right after I finish the episode. But I can appreciate that interpretation.
There was this like long sequence where there was a suicide in the first episode.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he went back, right? And there was no dialogue, but it was completely explaining the emotion of what was happening. And that's why I think that the show, so far, I really like it, because it's not easy to do that.
Mm.
It's much easier to just put it in a dialogue and let the character explain it. Mm. But when you have to explain it to the audience and it's not for a Japanese audience.
No, it's not. It is not. You're right.
It's for an American or English speaking audience, but you're talking in Japanese. Like, so that's not easy to do.
Which is why initially I was not turned on to watch it, because I'm thinking, all right, this is going to be too heavy into Japanese. And same. I was like, all right, I'm not going to watch this. And then I was bored one day and I'm like, all right, I am going to watch this. I've seen it pop up way too many times. And then that first episode got me. And it doesn't really pick up to about the sixth episode.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to stay committed. But I think it's a really good show.
I'm going to have to say same. I resisted because I thought it was going to be too subtitle heavy. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to work that hard. I just want to watch something.
Right.
You know, I finally get a minute to myself. I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah.
But
no, watch the TV. Yeah. I don't want to read a book.
Why come read?
Why and come I was, read?
I was going to talk about the Gentleman series on Netflix real quick.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched the Gentleman TV series yet, you might want to skip the next 2 minutes.
I have a real problem with a series that has a character that is so annoying. And the other one that comes to mind is Tokyo, if you guys watch The Heist. I can understand a character with flaws, but who's the brother from Godfather?
Fredo.
Fredo. Multiply by 10, I can't do it. And that brother was like, no. Because you knew every time he was on the screen, something bad was going to happen.
Right.
Which is like, okay, you're giving away the goods every time he shows up.
Right.
And so I was like, oh.
There's a lot of Godfather references in that show as well.
And there's no good payoff. Sorry, anybody who's in the middle watching this. Yeah, I had so many problems with it. I had, after the first episode, I was like, okay, let's get into this. And then I just started watching it just to finish it.
I agree. I was very disappointed. It just didn't go anywhere.
Mm.
And it was like, okay, put Guy Ritchie, gangster film, and uber rich monarchy in England. So like, it's like you're peeking behind the curtain of this aristocracy. And you're mixing gangster shit into it. I'm like, okay, this could be interesting. And then I felt like it was a spectacle that went nowhere.
It had too many holes. It kind of fell flat.
Way too many holes. Yeah. Matter of fact, didn't even close some storylines well. And I'm like, oh man, this is really disappointing.
I mean, Guy Ritchie's not the best filmmaker, but he makes some fun films. This should have been a movie and not a series.
Yeah.
If you wrap this up in 2 hours, you would have been good.
you could give me 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I would have been like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is Leon. That's my check-in and I'm done speaking.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's good, people? This is your boy, L.O., a.k.a. the Ad Man. If you like this show, then make sure you subscribe to Decoding 40 on IG, Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok.
I'm going to start with the dad update. My pops is still in the hospital. His condition is stable, and it's my sister and I have been working diligently to try to get everything in line, try to get all the stuff that we don't want to have to worry about, you know, at the end stage. It's a lot of work running back and forth. And, you know, I left the house today at 11 and I'm running in the door at 8:15 trying to get down here to start recording. You know, like, it's just all day doing something, but you gotta fit in going to see him in all the other stuff that I have to do. And he's starting to develop a little bit of confusion. And I don't know if he's seeing things or if he is having hallucinations or if it's a little bit of delusions. I don't know what it is, but, you know, he says a couple of things about things that weren't in the room. Like he pointed behind me and he said, oh, that thing is right over there behind you. But he was actually talking about his house. And then a nurse came in and she was talking to him. She said, hi, Mr. Campbell, I hope you're okay. You know, and then he asked me if she was wearing an army uniform. So it's like I'm trying to figure out where he is. And I feel like he's not completely with us when I'm talking to him, if that makes sense. It's just kind of weird. He's half the person you know, but then not. But he's, as far as the health condition, somehow his blood pressure has been up, which was the main concern that brought him into the hospital in the first place. His blood pressure's up and he's off of the medication that was boosting the blood pressure. He's been off of that for like a week and his blood pressure's up. He's determined to use his walker and get himself around. He wants to walk every day. He's eating. He's doing all that he can because he wants to be able, he obviously wants to be in control of how he goes out. And I'm
and
happy
he doesn't want to be it. And he doesn't want to be in that hospital. That's no, what it is.
He doesn't want to just wither away in that bed. He wants to get up and he's gonna go out the way he wants to go out. And
ten toes down, baby.
Happy to see that. But yeah, another week of this, and happy to see that he is making these small improvements, but then you see these other declines. But you know, he's still with us. I'm grateful for that.
No doubt.
I've seen this a lot on social media lately. And I think people are not really taking heed. And because I've been driving a lot between Brooklyn, going to Queens, and then going to Long Island, this thing has been clawing my nerves. There are some highway rules that I need you all to adhere to, okay? Far right lane is for people who are going slow. If you're nervous, grandma, if you're a nervous grandpa, this is your first car, stay in the right lane. We expect you to go slow. Let people onto the highway. That's your lane. Middle lane, you're driving the speed limit. Speed limit's 55. I'm expecting that you're going to go 55, maybe 60. You're good. Far left lane is for speeders. If you're not willing to commit to 15 miles over the speed limit, please stay out of that.
Hold up. Disclaimer. These are Alric rules.
Yeah. Right. These are definitely my rules.
The opinions expressed by Alric.
If the speed limit is 55, don't get in the left lane unless you're willing to do 70. Don't do it. And we may visit each of your lanes, other people. But it's just going to be for a brief time so we can get around the idiots who are not doing 70 miles per hour. But please do not be in the far left lane doing 55. Don't be in the far left lane doing 45. Why are you here? Why are you over there? I don't understand.
They're confused.
And a special shout out to those people who are driving on the Jackie Robinson Expressway. Do not get on what we used to call the Interborough.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get on. If this is the first time you're getting on a highway, don't get on.
Nah, that's not the place to go practice highway skills. That is for advanced drivers only.
That is a fact. Yeah. If you have to drive your car with your hands at 10 and 2,
don't get on there.
Don't get on the Interborough. Don't get on the Jackie Robinson Expressway. Do not get in the left lane.
Hold up. If you've never used the e-brake, don't get on the Jackie Robinson. Because you're drifting. You're practically drifting on the Jackie Robinson. I've done a 360 on a Jackie Robinson before.
Yo.
I know.
That is a fact. Even if you are a confident driver, that stretch.
Hold up. When you get on a Jackie Robinson, nigga, you immediately put on driving gloves.
Yeah. You have to.
You have to put on leather driving gloves, nigga, and glasses. And
helmet comes down.
With a scarf. That shit is not for the weak, yo. For real.
Manual shifting is required. On certain terms, you got a manual shift.
A stick shift just pops up.
That's hilarious. That's so true, though.
Yeah. I do. But those are the people that cause the accidents. Because what are you doing? Like, why are you doing that? Why are you taking up two lanes? Like, this happened today where someone was so nervous about going around these corners that they were driving in the center of two lanes. Now I got to squeeze you over. Now you're probably going to have an accident because I'm forcing you over into the other lane. Now you're nervous and you're and you might crash. So don't get on there.
You're going to end up in the cemetery. That's to the right or the left of Jackie Robinson. We're going to put you right. I'm putting you right into a fucking graveyard, nigga. Get the fuck out my way.
The coffin. Your car is your box.
Yeah.
Please take the side streets.
Right into a mausoleum, son. Get out the way.
Please take the side streets. And one last note. Last episode, or it might have been the episode before, I talked about my surprise birthday event that my wife put together. So I'm going to have to issue an apology because I went in on the restaurant about the service in the restaurant, and my wife took it as a criticism of the thing that she put together. I'm probably going to get in trouble again. But anyway.
Oh, wait, which restaurant? Oh, the restaurant before.
The restaurant before the surprise.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I thought I was bigging up the whole surprise thing because I thought that was like the meat of it. But, you know.
Yeah, far be it from me to tell any wife what they should have heard. But I don't think that you were poo-pooing on the restaurant. I think just on that meal, but overall, you were happy that she made the effort.
Yeah.
You were very appreciative that she went through all of that to make it a surprise.
I thought that was the meat of the story. I thought it was, but I just didn't want to make her think that I didn't appreciate the efforts, because I did appreciate the efforts, and what they did in the kitchen was not her fault. And I was, you know, I was bashing them. Yeah, for sure. I didn't name their names, but also I did that when I took her out for her birthday last year. The restaurant didn't do very well, and I bashed them. But you know, but I want to publicly apologize and say thank you, baby. I appreciate all that you did for my birthday, and I felt special. And it was a happy birthday.
Oh, that was a great apology. Hopefully, she will think the same.
Cut what he said.
Oh shit. Don't start any fuckery.
Merch drop.
You are now listening to Decoding 40.
What's up, y'all? We need y'all to support this podcast. Pick yourself up a t-shirt, a hoodie. They're soft, they're poly tri-blend, luxurious, they're furry on the inside, they're really plush. You can sleep in them, your wife can sleep in it, your daughter can steal it, and she can sleep in it. Go over to decoding40pod.com and get yourself a t-shirt, hoodie, whatever you like.
Decoding40pod.com.
This week, we were treated to a public barbecuing. that was performed on New York City's mayor, Eric Adams. by Olayemi Alorin. This young woman gave him the business. And I don't think there's any question about who came out on top of this debate, because she had receipts and things he just couldn't answer for because they weren't in his talking points. And then she did a follow-up video where she went statement for statement and recited, you know, where she got her facts from, because he tried to frame it as not factual.
You're lying, sister.
Yo, she had that nigga looking like Stuttering Stanley. Stuttering Stanley. Hamana. Yo, he.
You lying on me. Charlemagne, help me.
I mean, I think she's Bayesian. I heard a little bit of accent. I'm not exactly sure, but I think, you know, you don't really argue with a Bayesian woman with a law degree. It's not going to turn out so good for you.
Right. It's not.
If she's got the receipts. But she brought up a few things. And honestly, if you go back, I don't know how many episodes ago would have been when his election was coming around. I was riding for him. And I would say I was not necessarily in support of him, but I was wait and let's see what he does with this.
Mm-hmm. And you gave us the Dave Chappelle Saturday Night Live Trump speech.
Yeah, I did. Because the Eric Adams I remembered was the Eric Adams who was the head of 100 black men in law enforcement and the borough president. Mm-hmm. Two positions, by the way, that have zero power. Mm-hmm. Zero power. Like, he has the power to put on a concert in Wingate Park, but that was about it for borough president. That's the power he had.
He's giving out ribbons.
Yes.
Cutting ribbons.
Yeah.
Shoveling new
supermarkets and shit.
Yeah.
You cut ribbons in supermarkets.
You know.
But as soon as you gave this man some power, I'm curious, like, what happened to that activist?
He was never an activist.
Money. He was an activist.
Oh, he was never an activist.
Well, he was pretending to be an activist.
He was pretending to be an activist.
You're right. He was pretending to be an activist with the 100 black men in law enforcement. And the things that he was advocating for at that time were things that resonated with most black folks. We do want to see crime reduced in our neighborhoods. We want to see those things addressed. But we also do not want to be hemmed up every time we go to the subway.
Go to the bodega, or to move your car, or alternate side street parking, or just walking down the street.
Right. But he as soon as he got the power, he's like, oh, we're just going to go back to what we were doing before. Mm-hmm. Because I like that better. And it just goes to show what he's just a pawn in this game.
Yeah.
He signed up for that.
I don't even think he's a pawn.
He wants to be reelected, because being the New York City mayor, it's like, I forgot who said it or what the line was, but basically, like, running New York City is like running like the seventh or eighth largest country in the world. It's that big of a city. It's you're running a small country pretty much. And with that comes power and just being in certain circles. And like, if you want to go to governor, you know, being the New York City mayor, going to becoming the governor is not that far of a stretch. You know what I mean? Just because you're dealing with one of the biggest cities in the world. But with that power comes, you know, people giving you money and promises, and you kind of lose your way, I think.
See, I think that in order to get in that seat, there's a lot of people who we don't know the names of who give you that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be repaid for the favors that they gave you.
Of course.
And they like more cops on the street. They like the National Guard on the subway. And like she said in her argument, that doesn't make black people feel safer. That makes us feel less safe. That makes us feel like something's going on, because they're coming down on us. They're not here to help us.
Right.
They're here to pressure us, you know?
Yeah, because one of the statistics that she quoted was that even though the monitor was implemented 8 years ago, a lot of the practices that were deemed unconstitutional during the Bloomberg administration are worse now, where you have 97 to 99, I think, or at least 97% of the people who are being violated are Black and Hispanic men, I believe, but definitely Black and Hispanic people. And of those stops, 25%, I think it was 24% exactly, have been deemed unconstitutional. So that means almost one out of every four stops is an unconstitutional stop.
Mm-hmm. And they're, so, and they're going after poor people.
Just right.
Of course. Point blank. Absolutely. I saw one of her follow-up videos on TikTok where she makes that statement. It's like, people who are fare evading are people who can't afford the fare.
Right.
Because, I mean, the rent, she said, it's so expensive to live in the city. You got to make a choice of either I'm going to eat lunch or I'm going to hop the turnstile.
So I don't know what the fine is, but I know it was $50 at one point. So the resolution or the solution to that then is, oh, well, now you pay $50 or $75.
But you probably get a warrant because you may not have this $50 or $75 to pay.
You didn't have $290 to pay.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really don't understand, is the end goal to run every person who's middle or lower income out of the city? Because that's what's happening with this congestion charge. You can live in the city.
Price is ridiculous.
Let's say you live in Hell's Kitchen and you have to work in Jersey. So you got to pay a toll to get out of the city. Then you got to pay a toll to get back to your house. And you're paying for the garage, even though your apartment might be rent stabilized, let's just say.
If you're lucky.
But you're paying $450 a month to park your car, or it's getting towed every other week. Hopefully. And now they want to put a congestion charge on you. Daily one. It's ridiculous.
Hello, and we're not talking about a $2 congestion problem. We're talking $20, $30 on someone. It's something ridiculous. It's like $7.
But wow, that's crazy.
If you're coming in from Jersey and you go below 660th Street, I believe, it's something like you're essentially paying another toll.
Oh, you're counting the Jersey toll as well.
The Jersey toll is $20, and then you're paying another. I looked up the congestion pricing because I was like you. Oh, it's what was it, $3, $4? It's not that. But it was high. It was like $17, $18
To go below 60th Street? It's like $16.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not fucking cheap. So before you even park your whip in the city, you done paid $40. If you come from Jersey, you done paid $50.
It's $50.
You haven't eaten anything yet. You haven't paid the $20 it costs to park for 10 minutes because the fucking meter.
Yo, it's $15 and it's between 5 a.m. and 9 p.m. on weekdays and 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. on weekends.
That's fucking bananas.
So and when are you coming to the city?
No. Wow.
And
you come in at 4 a.m.
The governor allowed the MTA to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And why?
MTA is, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you why they did it. Bloomberg wanted to do it a long time ago. And ever since the pandemic, the subway ridership went down almost in half. And the MTA have so many pork barrel projects going on right now as in regards to the signal system. Because I remember this when I worked there. The signal systems, one train car costs $1.5 million, and they're trying to basically redo their whole entire fleet. They're trying to create a new signal system down there that is already 30 years old when they put it in the first fucking place. So all of these systems and things cost money, millions and billions of dollars. On top of the fact that the MTA has several different books, on top of the fact that the board that runs the MTA is almost exclusively white men who live upstate, and they tax the hell out of what the people pay in the city, and it goes to all these projects upstate. And I don't know if this is a fact or has been proven, but I'm going to take a guess and say that a lot of times what they do is when they have to pay for something, they go into the MTA coffers and they take it out of there. And when they want to give themselves a raise, I remember when we went on strike when I was working there, they bitched and moaned about the 3 or 4% we wanted, right? They in turn said, we don't have any money, right? Then we sign a shitty contract and they go, oh, by the way, we just found $60 million. And oh, by the way, we're going to give everybody on the board a $60,000 raise, which is the annual salary of a conductor. And the crazy shit, it was, there's no oversight. They voted on their own fucking raise. What do you think? They're going to say no? Nobody said no to that. Oh, yeah, we need $60,000. So that is the shit that the MTA is in. They know that this is the only organization that gets caught with two or three sets of books and everybody says, I didn't see anything. What books? So that's why they're allowed to charge $15 to come below 60th Street. And that money will be mismanaged and go into other pork barrel projects. And it allows people like Mayor Adams and the governor to, like, you know, hey, I need a couple $1 million. Where are we going to get it from? Oh, we'll just take it from the fund.
And see, and this is what pisses me off, because I told you the story about that goofy little person who tried to berate me about I have to vote for Hochul, because like she's going to be the savior for people who look like us or people who are in a certain economic bracket. So like, what is the option? You have either idiots who believe in January 6th was just a tour, or you have so-called progressives who are raping and pillaging poor people.
Right.
They're not even progressive. They're like ultra liberal Democrats that you know who they are. These Democrats are like the chick that screamed in the park on the Birdwatcher. That's who they are. Well, I voted for Obama. Yeah, but you're still a racist bitch. Like, what are you talking about? Your policies are racist as fuck.
Right.
And where do you think these National Guards are coming from? They're not coming from. They're coming from fucking upstate somewhere. They have no compassion for people who live in the city. Outside of New York, everybody hates New York City outside of New York City. Mm. And that's a fact.
Despite New York funding the rest of the state.
Exactly. On the backs of poor people.
I didn't like the idea of the National Guard getting on the subway, because I felt like that was a preparation for us to get used to the idea of martial law. Get used to the idea of having the military on our streets on a regular basis. That was weird to me. Like, there haven't been that many subway incidents that we have to call in the National Guard.
It's Hunger Games, right, Maji. That's all it is.
But yeah, I talked about this before. They used to have guards with, like, I don't even know what the guns are, but automatic weapons.
M4s.
At 96th Street. So immediately I'm thinking, okay, something's going down. Not that you're here to make me feel safe, that there's apparently some news. Yeah, exactly. And I remember my youngest son not feeling comfortable about seeing that, because we were like outside of a museum and he saw them standing there on guard. And I was like, so whatever you think this imagery is supposed to imbue about safety, it is not. It is doing the exact opposite.
Exact opposite. Because you're like, what the fuck you got that for?
Right.
Like, what's happening? I should not be around here. Where motherfucker need M16s.
First of all, if you have to pull out and use that shit, even if you shoot somebody with it, that bullet doesn't stop.
Yeah.
It goes through that it went through that motherfucker and hits the bystander who's just having a Starbucks coffee or a fucking hot dog or whatever the fuck. It's like, come on, like, what are we doing here?
You know, if this is to fight some form of terrorism, if we have a known threat to New York City, if there's some white supremacist group that's talked online that they're going to come to New York and they're going to fuck people up, yeah, okay, I want you there. National Guard, take their heads off. All of them. But if one guy on a train punches another guy and may get stabbed in the back, that's New York City. There's no call for the National Guard. I mean, like,
we don't need the National Guard.
If cops can't handle that, if 30,000 police officers can't handle that, then what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Fuck you, Mayor Adams. You disappointed us.
You didn't disappoint me. You were who I thought you were.
Well, Charlamagne, you gonna help me out here, son? Yeah, you know what I mean? Sorry. I've been smelling a lot of marijuana in these streets. That's how he sounds.
Where the bitches is at?
Yeah. I got this suit on and shit. I want these hoes. Yo, Jay-Z, I'm coming to your party today. No Diddy.
For the love of money. Would you rather make $500 an hour where you work right now, but you have to work naked, or $5,000 a day and work in the sewer? Have you ever seen any of those videos of Indian, like, there's this cast that that exclusively work. Yeah, they're untouchables because some of them work in the sewer. Like, I mean, like raw sewage.
Mm-hmm.
But you get $5,000 a day. Or would you rather work at the job you have now, but you work naked? And that's not to say that it's acceptable or people are comfortable with it. But you just walk, you go to work, but they accept it because you identify as naked.
Mm.
You identify as naked. And those my pronouns are naked and naked.
Buck naked.
Buck up naked.
I guess I'm going into the sewer.
Yeah, wow. You said 5 G's a day or an hour?
5 G's a day.
5 G's a day? Yeah, I'm going to the sewer.
I cannot do it.
I'm wearing...
But they're already doing it.
No.
YeI'm wearing a full fucking bodysuit.
Sir. I specifically said, Dirty Cast, India. You're wearing roll-up shorts and a t-shirt.
That's what they wear.
Yeah. He's talking about he's getting...
at least get some gloves? Like, come on.
Shit.
I don't get no gloves to cover my hands, and I'm just cleaning turds. Nah, come on, man. Yeah, you're going too far. You're going too far, bitch.
You're not cleaning turds, but you might have to clear clog turds, and it might require you to stand in it.
Yeah.
You have enough... Well, yeah, that's going to be the problem. But
yeah,
you have enough to steam your body every day.
Nigga, steam? I got to go through like the fucking shit that they did in Star Trek where the motherfuckers vaporize and get on another planet. That's what I got to go through every day. I need one of them shits to like literally clean every atom in my body. Like the fuck?
Well, for $5,000 a day, you can buy a second lunch. You're going to throw one up and you can eat another one. For me personally, I'm just going to have to go to work naked.
Yo, you'd have to bleach your nostrils every day because the smell is not going away. Everything you taste will taste like shit.
Yeah.
You'll start to enjoy it.
Reminds me of the video of the dude that works on Rikers. Hold on, what was the dude the video of the dude that works on Rikers, and he said that it smelled like Badoosie or whatever every time he went into the jail and he finally got used to it? Oh my God.
Right.
You know what I've noticed since going to the hospital to visit my father? Like, all of the nurses wear a lot of perfume.
They have to.
A lot of perfume. Because he's on a ward that's mostly geriatric.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of shit.
And I'm like, all these nurses smell so good. And I'm like,
it's for their own good.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm going to tell you.
They probably line their nostrils. I couldn't do their job. I'll tell you that.
I remember when I worked at Mercy in high school, Mercy Hospital in Long Island, and the smell of, because again, people are on a myriad of medications and it does something to their body odor, the way the urine smells, the way they, everything.
Mm.
And nigga, you'd go into a room with a plate and that smell would be like, hey, what are you doing? And it would smack the shit out of you to the point where you go, oh, shit, I'm just going to leave the tray on the floor. You just got to think to yourself, I'm sorry. And there used to be this one dude that smelled like, oh, my God. And he'd be like, hey, help. Can you please put the plate? Please put the tray. Right, please put the tray. And I'm like, dude, you stink. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I would literally, like, you know how you extend your whole body sometimes to get something that's on a shelf. That would be me delivering the tray. Like, I would have like 1 foot at the edge of the door trying to stretch my body like the motherfucking Fantastic Four.
You trying to go gadget your arms
for real?
So you don't have to get closer
because the smell. Oh my God. Yeah. What are they feeding you? Jesus Christ.
A lot of it's not even the food. It's just. Body
it's the medications.
Yeah.
It's the exactly. medications, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, that shit will make you smell and sweats come out of you. It comes out of your pores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna go in the sewer, you're saying $5,000 a day.
See, yes. I'm having a problem with the whole I gotta wear sandals and shit. Like if you got me dressed like a dude from India, I'm wearing sandals and a t-shirt and a fucking pair of fucking gym shorts. Yeah, 5 G's a month though. 5 G's a day.
No, 5 G's a day.
5 G's a day, yeah. I'm going to need one of these antimatter cleaners or something that's at my crib. Like, I got to literally have every atom in my body.
But if you work naked, you make $500 an hour.
Now, how many hours you work?
8 hours. So that's $4,500.
Yeah.
So you're making less.
Yeah, and you don't have to smell like shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be walking around naked in the job that I work. I don't want to do that. I mean, I ain't trying to do that where I'm at. Shit.
It's definitely going to be dangerous.
So it's dangerous.
Like, so what are you doing?
My man is wild.
Yeah, got my sack out and shit. You got too many moving parts happening. Shit, fucking, it could be a horrible accident. Yeah, it could be a horrible accident. I might wind up a National Guard victim. Nigga, like, son, no.
That would be no crazy.
So yeah. I guess I'm smelling like shit. I don't know.
Yeah. So, oh, Rick, you said you would.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go naked because I could not handle it. I could not handle it. I guess because I have in my mind the videos that I saw of these untouchables in the shit. And I'm just like, there's no way. There's no
fuck. And so wait, let me ask you, you have to tell your coworkers why you're doing this, or you just walk in?
You know what? You can tell them. I mean, you just have to be naked. And I feel like it would take. And I'm not saying like I was going out on Barnwood and being naked, because that's fucking insane, because you're outdoors and sometimes it's freezing. Mm-hmm. But like if I'm just doing studio work naked.
No. If you were outside, you would have to take this deal too.
Yeah. I would do it rather than fucking roll around in some doo-doo.
So you would be in sub-freezing temperatures naked for $500 an hour.
Yeah, rather than standing in a pool of sewage and a doo-doo could float by and touch me on the knee, hell yeah, I can't do it.
It's all sludge at that point. It's all sludge.
The thought of it right now is making me a little queasy.
Yeah, I had to take a bleach bath every day, son. Like, the amount, first of all, 40% of my budget would be in disinfectants. Like, I have to have, son, like, there is not water hot enough that's going to take that stench, that feeling of feeling dirty off of you.
Have you ever gone swimming in, like, a murky lake?
Yeah.
No.
And had something float by and touch you on the knee, like, graze you on the knee?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, but you know it's doo-doo.
But at that point,
somebody else is doo-doo. You don't even know that person.
Come on.
No, I can't do it.
Oh my God. Well, you know what? I've seen videos of there's that dude that does the videos, Saray, I think his name is, or C-Ray or whatever, and he talks about like some of the stuff that they make in these other countries where they're literally putting their whole fucking dirty hand in the pot and stirring it. Like, that right there, like, ooh. No. And that's not even doo-doo. That's just poor hygiene for food. Like, ugh. Ugh. Yuck.
Wow. All right. So we really want to hear from you and tell us, what would you choose? Would you choose to work at your job right now for $500 an hour and you have to work naked, or for $5,000 a day work in the sewer? And you can send your responses to 619-940-4040, decoding40@gmail.com, or just hit us up on Facebook and Instagram at decoding40. Yeah.
Decoding 40.
What did you learn this week, Phyllis?
Wow. What did I learn this week?
I'll tell you what I learned. Don't vote for Mayor Adams next cycle.
That was done. That was a done deal.
What I learned this week? I learned that L has some of the worst luck sometimes when it comes to restaurants. And an Arnold Palmer is not an IPA. I repeat. And if the word, what was it? Regression?
Regression.
Regression does not equal IPA, you stupid motherfucker.
Yeah, bro, you're an idiot. You just made that up.
You need to go to school and learn, like, you need to go to waiter college or something. Nigga. Yep. Like, what's going on?
Either he was dumb or he was hoping you were dumber than him.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah. That's what he was hoping for.
Yeah. What did I learn this week? I learned that just because you have a new driver sticker on the back of your car, I don't give a fuck about that. Get where you belong.
Yeah.
Go back to where you belong. If you're a new driver, go over there. Get out of the old driver's way.
Hold up. If you're on the highway, if you're scared to get on the highway, don't get on the highway.
Right. If it makes you nervous, don't do it. And I think that's our show for this week, fellas. All right, guess our departing words is
peace.
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 Thank you for listening to Decoding 40.